हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Paramatma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 5, the jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Right, so we're establishing, you know, here that the jiva, that the aspect Shastras talk about, that he's all-pervading. Means he pervades the body. Right, so the full body is pervaded by the consciousness of the jiva. At the same time, he's still localized in one place. Right, so that becomes confusing for these others because they can't appreciate that being consciousness, then that consciousness can spread. But our spreading is limited, just like we have the same qualities as Krishna, but ours are limited. His are unlimited. So in the same way as we can pervade this body, but Krishna pervades all bodies and everything. Right? So it's just a matter, it's just because it's by mundane logic, it may or may not seem to make sense. But the point is if that's the nature of Krishna, why wouldn't that be the nature of the jiva? Just the jivas are small, right? That's all. Even if the jiva is proved to be very small, there is no contradiction with these statements. Since the jiva is anu and consciousness, and conscious, and spreads its consciousness as a giver of consciousness, it spreads throughout the body. In this world, a glowing lamp situated in one place illuminates dark areas near it by its quality of illumination. Right? So, but it illuminates near. So the jiva also is near. Yes?
Which page, right?
72. Sorry. So just as you have a small lamp, it illuminates a bigger lamp like this. But the jivas are small. Krishna illuminates everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like that. So he's the sun. And we're like little, you know, molecule of sunshine.
So if we understand the nature of the jiva, we understand the nature of Krishna, Paramatma.
Yes, you can do it that
and
way.
And also
the other way. But generally is, yes. But the point is these qualities is from Krishna. That's where you actually see. Means that you see that the jiva is Brahman, that it's transcendence, like that, and it has qualities. Then the whole process starts to work. But it's when you appreciate how Krishna is Bhagavan, how he has all qualities and all his energies, and he's in control of those energies, and we're part of that energy, then it becomes complete. Yes.
I was like contemplating on this, that the objective reality is perspective from the absolute truth in the form of Bhagavan,
yes,
Paramatma and Brahman.
Yes.
But as soon as we come to the perspective from the jiva, it can be never fully objective. It will be subjective to his own field of action.
Yes, yes.
So that's why we always fall short in explanation, and any other philosophy always falls short in explaining the absolute truth because they take the perspective of jiva rather than from the absolute truth, as we say, deductive process.
Yes, because you have to take it that the proper understanding of reality comes from that side because everything's coming from Krishna. We're part and parcel of Krishna. So then, because he's tattva, so everything is balanced in him. And then when if we see things in connection with him, then it all works very nicely. If we don't see it in connection with him, then like Prabhu's saying, the subjectivity, then we're going to look at it according to our... You know, it's just like in Vaikuntha, oh no, that's the thing, there's nothing else. So you have to look at it from tattva, who Krishna is. Then you can see it's according to taste. Right? That. So for someone, so that's how you can have each position is the hot absolute, but at the same time there's variety. Right? So sweetness, then that has one position, and reverence has another position. They're both absolute. But there's a difference in position. And if you're talking about intensity, then the sweetness is more intense. So in that way, then you say it's higher. Higher meaning more intense. Not higher meaning the social prestige is greater. Like you see, when the Brajvasis go to Dwarka, then they're friends, but at the same time they deal very nicely, because here you have those people, kings and great personalities like that. And so, but then they take it, we're just, simple villagers. Even the gopis are saying, we're simple village girls, and Krishna's gone to Mathura, and now he has all those fancy city girls, yes. Like that. So socially, then it's not. It's a matter of the intensity. That's how you judge. Otherwise, if you use the wrong measurement, you won't get the proper thing. It's just like if I go into the kitchen, and then... I'm going to decide which pot is better by which one, that particular color or something, or things like this, So let's say, the pot's been used really well, so it's more blackish, so therefore the pots that are more black then are better than the other ones. So, okay, but then what about the knife? Now, the knife is not very black, so then you have the knife that's kind of old and no one takes care of it, so that one's darker, so now is that one better? So you have to know what to use in what position. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. That's the objectivity. Krishna gives the direction. We can't do that ourselves. We can't establish. Yes.
So knowledge of the jiva not necessarily brings us to the knowledge of Bhagavan, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes. Because knowledge of the jiva means you have a spiritual understanding, but only knowledge of Krishna, then you actually have a transcendental understanding. Right? Because technically everything is spiritual, but the material energy is also spiritual. But the point is it's pervading everything. And so only when you see it in context of Krishna in his pastimes with the living entities, then you start seeing it beyond the material position, right? Because material nature is also Brahman, but we try to take advantage of that Brahman. But in the spiritual world, then that mentality is not there. You know what I'm saying? So spiritual and transcendental are synonyms, but at the same time, when you use them together in the same explanation, there's a difference. One means you're talking about the sat. The other one, you're talking about the chit and ananda. Right? Because sat means it's the place, the individuals, the variety of situations and paraphernalia. Chit then means that knowledge, then the relationships themselves, that active principles that are there, what can be performed like that. And ananda means then what's gained from that interaction. So ananda is actually what happens from chit, right? It's like it said, it's an extension of chit, right? It means it stands on its own, but I'm just saying it's when chit is applied, then you get ananda. But the whole point is it's all about ananda, so that's why ananda is the basis. Yes?
We also see, if we want to have knowledge about individual jiva, the Patanjali also mentions, but it's purely from the jiva's perspective, how he sees the world and how he can understand he's different, yes, from gross and subtle body.
Yes.
And then only in the karma mimamsa, then we consider not only you but other jivas. But then still the absolute is not understood. Though we have knowledge of jiva, most of these points we discuss here, even they discuss. But unless we start from the absolute truth and then come back,
it won't be complete.
We won't be understood. They also, I think, every one of them mentions that Paramatma is there, and then we are subordinate. Sometimes it's not clear in some of them. Mm.
Yeah, they generally all mention. They all, because they all have the understanding that Vishnu's there and he's the boss. But it's just what's the relationship, what's the position, and everything like that. That's where the weakness comes. Where do we come from? You know, like that. How you become transcendental. These are, you know, what's that definition? That becomes the...
Maharaj, you can say that the six philosophies are the limit of the understanding of the jiva by the ascending process.
Yes, you could say that. You could say they're the maximum that you can intellectualize, and that, you know, to that depth.
Yes.
Then you can now, after that, you can make combinations, permutations, and all that off of it.
Yes.
You know, so any philosophy that's there is going to have the elements from the six schools, but it's not that they'll be following any one school.
Yes.
But whatever combination you have, it can all take shelter in impersonalism. Because they're all impersonal, ultimately. So all of impersonalism is the position, because it doesn't matter, because if there's not a person, then you don't establish anything. It's just like, okay, I go into the forest, I don't see any people there, right? You know, I check around, nobody's there, and I fence off an area there, no one's going to complain. But if I go there and there are people there, then now it becomes more difficult to do that. So the reason, you know, one of the impetuses for being so much on this impersonal platform is that means then the world, I can do with it as I want. And even if they do take in that they have that theistic element, you'll generally see they deify the Lord. So yeah, he's God, he created, and now it's our thing.
Yes.
Now we do with it as we see fit. All right? So in that way, that's why we say it'll be atheistic, because they believe in God, because it helps materialism work nicely, right? So one could say, no, they just believe in God and all that. But then what happens when their materialism doesn't go nicely? They put in so much faith into God and prayer and all kinds of things, but if now they don't get their things, or let's say it's coming slowly, okay, they can keep. But let's say things go really bad. They may give up that faith. So that means God is just an extension of their morality. So technically you can say it's atheistic. Because it's not properly theistic. All right? Does that make sense? So there's those who will follow the Vedas and accept that it comes from a supreme, but couldn't care less about the supreme. Then there's others that it's about the supreme, and he's there and all that. But at the same time, it's the religious process is appreciated as long as material advancement is going on. You know, gain and safety is happening. So if the gain, oh, God's great, you're safe. God's great. You know, it's just like. The accident happens and everybody's safe. Oh, God's grace and this and that. Accident happens and someone dies. Oh, how could God let this happen? You know, it's
yes.
So that's the thing. It's always subjective to ourselves. And then because I'm doing this, I extend my consciousness in my body. I am aware of other bodies connected with this body. And so because of that, oh, I see you do it one at a time.
Yeah, because it's really intense.
Yeah, because I tried it both at once, and I said that was insane.
I tried also, but then it's not as effective. Because I miss one, and then it hurts. Huh?
Yeah.
Maharaj, only the Acharya can defeat the six philosophies.
The Acharyas can defeat, yes, the Uttamadhikaris can defeat any of the philosophy. Why? Because we'll be thinking, oh, because, you know, because they know so much Nyaya, they know so much this, they know. No, it's just obvious. If I say this thing over here on the stand here is a very nice, well-arranged bowl of guacamole, you know? And everybody says, yeah, it's guacamole. And I come along and go, no, it's not guacamole. It's a microphone. Let me know what he's saying, what he calls it. Does, you know, it's our tradition. This has always been a guacamole. Like, no, this is not guacamole. It's just easy because they know Krishna, so they can see what's not Krishna.
Yes.
They're talking in a way. He's not a person. Oh, there's a contradiction here. The point is that's his potency. It's the internal potency resolves all contradictions. Because if you're everything, that means you're going to have things that are contradictory. You know? It's just like one has a house. And in the house, you have the living room, right? You have the kitchen. You're going to have the bathroom. You're going to have the bedroom. You're going to have a closet. You're going to have a garage. Each one of those, many times the thing that goes on in one is very contradictory to the other. Right? If you're working with fire in the kitchen, is there a problem? What if you're working with fire and the kids are working with fire in the living room? There's a problem. You know, so okay, we can't play with fire, but why are you playing with fire? You know, in the kitchen. So that's the whole thing. But you just call it a house. And a house means it has all these contradictory elements. So God means all, he being everything, all contradictory elements are there. They're perfectly resolved. So this is one of them. How the jiva is tiny, but he's all pervading, you know, within the body. He's not all they take it all pervading everywhere. You know. So then they just take these things and then play with them. He's all pervading. Yes, I'm all pervading, like everywhere. No, it's just the body. No, that's the pot. You know, that's the thing. It's only here, but once you remove that, then it's all that much air becomes everything? Okay, we'll do that. You know, you're in a room, make a vacuum there, then we'll bring in this much air and let it go. Enjoy. You know, because when this much air, when you remove, you put it in a little, you know, balloon, when you pop the balloon, then it becomes the whole room. So the whole room is full of air. Like that. You see how much our Maya body will appreciate that arrangement. You know? Or you could do, you know, even more simple. Except, you know, you bring one a grain of rice, and you put it in something, and then you bring it and says, no, but when we take it out of this, it will become unlimited. And then when you put it on his plate, and he still has only one grain of rice, then he may have to seriously contemplate his philosophy. You know, we say, oh, well, that's on the spiritual. No, but they're saying, well, this is material. They're saying you just remove this and that.
So at that point, we need to understand that we are 110,000 parts of
the tip of the hair, yeah.
And the rice is very big.
Yeah, but you see, it's from science, it's also the same foolishness, how that little 1/10,000th tip of the hair becomes unlimited. They're taking the Big Bang. The Big Bang theory starts from a point the size of the jiva,
yes.
And then it explodes, and then goes everywhere, and is still expanding, and still developing, and still. You got to be stupid to think this. How is that physically possible? Give the physical calculation that you could take all this matter and fit it into that. How much energy would it take to do that? Because nothing comes like that naturally. They just say, "Oh, it came like that." Okay, if someone stuffed it into there, but then who did that? Because here you're just saying it bangs and it's going out. But who did that? And anybody knows if you take all that and squish it into that to get it like that, it turns into a diamond. It doesn't explode. Diamonds don't explode. If they did, ladies wouldn't wear them, right? They're not that stupid, right? And we, you know, diamonds explode, so everybody's at the big party and all that. And now and again, so all of a sudden there's an explosion off in the corner, and someone goes, "What's that? Oh, that was who's this diamond?" Like that. Yeah, I always thought it was too big, you know, like that. You know, so it doesn't happen like that. So that's the thing, common sense. But they'll take what's not common sense and try to present it. That's the problem with all these philosophies. They're taking something that's not common sense and trying to make it into a philosophy. As soon as you say, oh, it's a philosophy, oh, it doesn't have to follow any rules. And then when you present God, oh, that's not logical. Nothing you've said is logical either. So that's the whole thing. But common sense, you can see God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, makes sense. And nothing else makes sense. Unless, of course, you want to be God. You want to be the controller and enjoyer. Then, of course, God consciousness won't make sense because it doesn't support that. And all the other schools do support it, and so therefore then you'll be happy. So we have to see is that when it says he's all-pervading, means he pervades the body. Or there's unlimited living entities, individuals that are all over, and they're everywhere. Right? They're in everything. So, yeah. The effulgence of the lamp is not caused by destructible particles emanating from the lamp. Right? There's particles coming out, and that's how they'll try to explain it. No, it's just the lamp itself. Fire itself is creating that. Red cloth or a red gem radiate color to their limits without distributing red particles. Right? You know, have you ever seen that? If you have something red and you take something that reflects, you'll see red in it. You know? Like if you have red cloth and you put some white cloth here, you'll see some red onto it. So it's radiating. And it's not that there's little particles of red going and that's what's make it and like that. Since one sees the quality, in other words, or e.g. is, for example, the redness,
yes.
Or,
huh?
What's the difference between e.g. and i.e.?
That is, i.e. means, that is, e.g. means for example.
For example, and e.g.?
E.g. is for example, i.e. is that means, or that is.
Oh, that means, okay, it's the upgrading of viz.
Yeah.
This was better. And the object has distinct entities. The redness is not the cloth. Right? So cloth is one thing, redness is another. They're two different things. They happen to be combined. So redness exists without the cloth, and cloth exists without the redness. The original object does not dissipate after some time from loss of particles. And it is impossible for objects like diamond to emanate particles. If the effulgence were small particles, the effulgence of gems could not spread out against the wind blowing in another direction. It would spread out its light only in the direction of the wind. Right? If it was particles, then you see it, it's just lights going off like this and not going that way. You know, because they like to say it's particles or this or that. There's all kinds of ways they come up with these things. Try to explain. Because they don't want to just accept that, no, this is the inherent nature. The potency is coming from Krishna. The effulgence or lack would act like particles of pollen carried by the wind. So that means if there's light, if it was the light is there, and if there's a little breeze, there'd only be light in the direction of the breeze. But it's not. It's still light in the other way. Since Atma is not material, it is not distributed by the wind as flame is. It is not disturbed by the wind as the flame is. So the flame is disturbed by the wind. The Atma is not. So it goes, but the Atma is eternal. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yata prakashatyeka kritsnam loka imam ravi. Shayat yeka. Okay. Kshetram kshetri tata kritsnam prakashayati bharata. Just as the sun lights up the whole world, this Atma illuminates the whole body. O descendant of Bharata. Bhagavad Gita 13:34. Brahma Sutra also proves that the senses are anu. Anabaha. The senses are atomic. Brahma Sutra 247. That's it, one word. The senses, like mind, also spread out. By the mind, one can go to Meru. The senses allow one to hear and see over distance. Diva Chakshu Atatam. As the sun spreads in the sky, of diviva chakshur atatam. As the sun spreads in the sky, the wise spread their vision to the Lord. Rig Veda 1:22:20. Commenting on the sutra, Madhva quotes from Sandilya Sruti. Na yanu chakshusha prakasho vyatato nur devaisha purushaha. The small atma spreads out, but it is not like the spreading of a particle of light. Elsewhere it is seen that a quality spreads to a place near the object. For instance, fragrance of a flower spreads to a limited area. One says a part of the object separates from the object with the fragrance. It is not true, since the quality of original object would then eventually disappear. But one cannot perceive the dissipation of quality in the object over a short period of time, because the dispersion takes place using very small particles, end quote. This is not so, since the particles, being beyond sense perception, being very small, could not take up the quality of fragrance, which are obvious in musk. So they're so small, how would they take up the fragrance of musk? Because musk is larger. You know, the particles of it are bigger. You know, so it becomes a difficulty. This is how they try to explain it. So you can see as Jiva Goswami is mentioning this, then, so, and now scientists will say the same thing.
Yes.
But it's just the same. The philosophy is always there because it's the modes of nature. Like we said, the Big Bang comes from the small thing will become unlimited. So they're saying this small thing will become unlimited. Yes.
Please remind me, what is the original point they're trying to prove that this got lost?
It means the jiva is infinitesimal. Because some will say, as always, he remembers that they, I think, Vaisheshikas and the Nyayas, then they'll say that the jiva is unlimited, because otherwise, how does it fit into all the bodies? Because if it was small, it wouldn't be able to pervade the body. So that means it has to be the size of that body. You know, an elephant is bigger, you know, an ant is smaller, so it's unlimited. It can grow to any size and stuff. But we're saying, no, it's small. It's not unlimited. But its consciousness can spread, you know, to a limited degree. So whatever body we're in, it can spread to that much. You know, because if we're as brilliant as the sun and like that, then, a body is not that much of a problem to expand, is to spread the consciousness in. So that's one of the main point. Therefore, the extension of consciousness could not be compared to the fragrance of earth without particles, or expansion of body by mystic power, kaya vyuha. Just as the fragrance of earth can spread beyond earth into water, quality of jiva spread even into another body at death. Just as the conductor of fragrance is air, the conductor of consciousness is the Lord. Madhva quotes from Sandilya Shruti. Ataika eva sa gandhavad vyatari chate tataki bhavat yata bhavi bhavati yam yateshvara prakurute tata tata bhavati so chintaya paramo gariyan. The atma spreads out like fragrance. It is one, and then it is many. Just as the Lord achieves it, so the atma achieves spreading. It is inconceivable, supreme, and great. Right? But we do it on a small, Krishna does it on a big level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like if you have the ocean, you have a drop of water, the qualities are going to be the same. You know, the ocean water can spread, you know, the drop of water can spread, but the drop of water, it's limited. The ocean is much bigger. Is that?
Yeah. But in our body, actually, we have the Atma with Pravadi everywhere, but there is also many other living entities, other jiva inside the body.
So yeah, and so they spread in the context of their body. They're in your body, in a body.
Yes, yes.
And so their consciousness spreads within their body.
They don't go outside.
But yours doesn't go outside, so why should theirs?
Yes.
You know, they can perceive outside, so they know you're there. That's why they're in there. Everybody functions within within the capacity of their body and their senses. And we may be able to perceive them or not. You know? Yes.
Also, the point here it is brought out about the Kaya Vyuha means it's like the eight mystic perfections. Some may quote that as a case like where we our consciousness go beyond and they quote all the metaphysical aspects. But here it is pointed out, all those are because of the jiva making the connection with the Supreme Lord, whose consciousness is pervaded all over.
Through the mystic powers.
To the mystic powers. Even all the...
So it's not coming from your own potency.
Yeah. It's not our own potency, it's the potency of the Lord, which we get because of meditation on Him.
Yeah. Does that make sense? It means how much we have, it's the Lord's potency. He's seeing everything. So therefore we connect with Him, we see. And then through mystic yoga, then you may be able to see more. You might be able to see things in a different place.
Yes.
But that potency is coming from the Lord. So it's not the jiva that's doing that. He may, by his good work, be able to do that. You know, it's just like Sanjaya can see what's happening on the battlefield.
Yes.
Means he literally can see.
Yes.
You know, you ask about something, then he can see there.
Yes.
You know, and so then, yeah. So then when they talk about, he talks about what the Pandavas did, what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's focusing on Arjuna and Krishna, so then he's saying what they're saying. Thus the jiva spreads by its qualities. Shankara says in commenting on Brahma Sutra 2.3.27, the jiva is said to be small, residing in the heart. It spreads throughout the body by the quality of consciousness. A lamebhya a naka grebhya, to the hairs and to the tips of the nails, right? Because if you touch, somebody touches your hair, you still feel it.
Yes.
Because the consciousness goes there and the tips of your nails, so you can tell when you know it's something's there. Chandogya Upanishad 8.8.1. Pragyaya shariram samarudya. The jiva spreads in the body by consciousness. Kaushiki Upanishad 3.6. Thus the jiva spreads throughout the whole body by its quality, since it is separately taught that Atma is the agent and knowledge is its effect. Right? So then the Atma is the one through, and then the effect is then you have knowledge, you know. Because it's an inherent quality of the soul. Therefore, you can know. Since he is knowledge, he can know things.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Also, by connecting this aspect with the five levels of consciousness, so all what we need to do is purifying our consciousness. Because by default, the Atma, the consciousness, is already in Anamaya Kosh. It's spread all over the body.
Hmm.
Only when it is getting purified to its original level, then it goes up till Manomaya, and then Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya is then when it connects to the Supreme Lord in a personal form.
Mm. Basically your default setting is that the jiva is aware of the body. So that puts anamoy. So only by purifying the consciousness you can go up. That's why animals are all anamoy, because they don't have a system of purification. Interesting. Yeah. So it's uplifting the consciousness. Yes.
If all the jivas have the inherent ability to know, then we see some do, some don't. Because of the free will?
Yes, yes. Means how you use, you know, knowledge, then that's what facility you'll be given. So as we were saying before, is you're, depending upon what you've done, then you're awarded. So then what are you awarded? Because the mind is using senses and using the intelligence. In other words, the mind uses the intelligence. And so from the intelligence is the memory where you have all the samskaras, and it's also the controller of the senses. and the ability to analyze that senses. So this Pramana Chaitanya, you see, is that's going to be different from living entity to living entity, depending upon how they deal. So if I use my consciousness in a proper way, I have better consciousness in the future. If I don't use it, I couldn't care less, and all. Then I end up where I can't even see. I don't. You know, people can point it out; they don't even notice. But yes.
In this connection, Maharaj, the mana, buddhi, ahankar is what is discussed. Even the karma mimamsas, but they don't discuss the chitta. It said the chitta which pervades all the three,
mm-hmm.
and it is outside, because chitta is represented by Vasudeva.
Mm-hmm.
And then mana, buddhi, ahankar by Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Niruddha.
Mm-hmm.
Unless one accepts the Vedantic philosophy, then only the chitta makes sense. Otherwise, within the mana, buddhi, ahankar, then it is all our samskaras are all like, you do good thing, go up, come down. There is never a way of getting out.
Mm.
And then there is never a way of like lifting from one stage to directly higher stage without going on a ladder. Because there is no outside thing. It's all within. So nobody discusses that's why on the consciousness, the chitta, other than the Vaishnava.
Yes, that's true. That's far. Got that?
No, please, can you clarify?
He was saying that when we're talking about the mind, intelligence, false ego, yeah. right? So then we're talking about Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha,
yeah.
right? But chitta, but the consciousness, that's Vasudeva. That's represented by Vasudeva. So only the Vaishnavas talk about this chitta and the proper understanding of that because they know Vasudeva. The others don't. They try to, within the confines of the mind, intelligence, and ego, try to work out all their philosophies. So this elevating the consciousness, that is not really understood. You know, there must be some, it's there, so there's some function that's there, but they won't completely understand it because they won't understand that the consciousness means conscious of Krishna. So it'll be very limited. So that's why I will say is we have these positions that are there that, you know, have the generic things, but then at the same time as people may work with these different things, but then aren't necessarily on that consciousness. Like you said, scientists work with intelligence, but they're actually on the platform of Anamaya. So they're using the tools of Vijnanamaya for Anamaya. You know, does that make sense? You know, or someone's using Dharma for Anamaya. Or someone's using Dharma for Pranamaya. You know, someone else is using Dharma for Moksha. Like if you perform your duties without attachment, you'll get liberated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the even if they hear these terms, they're still using them in a different way. Like you see Shankaracharya, you know, mentions here. The jiva is said to be small. You know? So he's quoting Shastra. Shastra says he's small. But the way he's presenting it, jiva is said to be small. Because that leaves the door open. So he could either, it's said to be small means Shastra says that's the way it is. Or it's said to be small that some say like this, but we know it's different.
Yes.
So you can see is he can actually present the absolute truth, but how he words it, people then can take it as speculation.
Yes.
So he doesn't have to be atheistic. He just speaks in a way that atheists will naturally...
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Really clever.
Very clever. Yeah, that's the whole thing. We also see, what is it, that Krishna Samhita? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing clever ways that preachers can present certain topics where people have such an issue with it, they can't discuss Krishna consciousness. So therefore, that point that's such an issue, there's a very clever way to express it that doesn't actually go against the philosophy, but it just presents it in a wording that they think it's according to their idea. But it's not. You know, just like someone says, you know, you're God, I'm God, we're all God. And probably say, yes, we're all God. But we're small God, Krishna's big God. So it's just full of tricks like that. But the problem is unless you understand the technical philosophy, you can't use the book. you'll get distracted. You know, so it's just a nice way to do, but otherwise it's just a clever way. But the point is if one has realization about Krishna, you talk from your realization. You'll work it out. So without, you can do very nicely. Because Prabhupada said that book's for madhyamas. It's not for neophytes. You know, they won't understand it. You know, just like we said, that in the Bhagavad, the teachings of the Bhagavad or something, it's a lecture, I think, where Prabhupada's talking to a group of, you know, so-called educated intellectuals. And he starts off by saying that the experience is something about the experiences described that the living entity the experiences of the living entity in hellish condition, you know, the hellish planets and all that, is imaginary. And then, because he said that, then that must be a real point of contention for that group that he's talking to. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on just to talk about the Bhagavat and its superior position and everything, and like that, everything else is there. But he said that. Mm-hmm. Now, we could say, so all this is imaginary. It's not, no. But what does imagination mean? It's in your mind. So you don't have a gross body when you're in a hellish planet. So what's experiencing is the subtle body. It's all in the mind. It's real. See, they take it, imagination means not real. We're saying, no, it's real, but it's just in the mind because there's no gross body. Right? So like that, and unless you know the philosophy nicely, then you'll become atheistic. So that's why it's not a general book to use, because if you know the technical philosophy like here, then you could use the book. It makes sense to you. Otherwise, it would not make sense. So the point is that's why we just stick to the examples given by the acharyas, and it works. Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that those who don't understand the philosophy,
mm-hmm,
or all the nuances of the philosophy,
mm,
by repeating Srila Prabhupada or other preachers, or even quoting acharyas without understanding, they just repeat what is said,
mm-hmm,
but hence they don't know what it means. It becomes a dogma. So then the general public, they're like confused. They can't figure out what's going on because it contradicts the teaching.
Yes, so, but there's nothing you can do about it. Means it's just that by association, by chanting, by studying, then gradually they'll understand. But the point is that if with faith they go out and try to speak, then we see you get effect. Now, if they're proud of what they're seeing or think that they're superior to others, then of course, then there'll be some bewilderment, you know. But it's not by academic ability. It's very rare. I've ever seen anybody who has a background of academia and they still kind of identify with it, that they actually understand technical points of the philosophy. I haven't met one. You know what I'm saying? Like that. If they identify with it. If they don't identify with it, then it just means they're thoughtful and that's fine. But as soon as they identify with it, Maya covers them. They can't understand. They argue and speculate and they're attached to the inductive method. Because unless you see it from deductive, like Jiva Goswami's explaining, you're not actually much of a, not a scholar within our context. Maybe outside. You know, it's like what do you call it? In a village blind men, a man with one eye is king. So outside, yeah, they don't think at all. So someone who does think, then yeah, he's a great guy. But within Krishna consciousness, if you don't think how the acharyas have shown that superior approach, then it won't work. So all I'm saying this is because then once one might say is, oh, then there has to be, you know, no one can preach unless he's done the, you know, the preacher's training course and all that. And it's kind of like the acharyas have already given that. That's the books, Bhakti Shastra, all these things like that. You know, that's why Prabhupada introduced, we have these things, and you preach. So many devotees, thousands of devotees, came by people who don't know that much, but they have faith, and so they spoke their realization. So you speak what you understand. That's the principle. What you understand, you speak. So if something made sense to you, that had an impression onto you, talk that. And other things, then you talk how much you can. And you also say, this area I don't know. You know, they can't expect you know everything. They don't know everything. You know, if they say no, but you know, unless you know, how are you doing? Says, can you explain to me how your car works? You know, let's have some detail. You know, what's the air fuel ratio in your car? Like that. What's the volume? How much is the displacement in each piston? You know, what's the temperature? What's the firing? What's the potency that comes in there? If you can't explain that, why are you driving a car? You should be walking. And if you can't explain how you're walking, then sit at home. So we have to be very careful that in this, it doesn't go the opposite way. Right? It should be, therefore, devotees should be trained nicely in the philosophy, should be discussing the philosophy, and so that should be the training. And so the philosophical points being discussed, that will be the main discussion. Practical application is knowing that kind of knowledge. So when devotees say the importance of knowledge and skills, but the point is you have to be able to apply Krishna consciousness. So if you're only applying something but you don't know what it is, it's only art. Science means I know the knowledge behind it and then I apply it. That's science. If I'm just applying something, that's art. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
so it's just a matter of, so that it doesn't go off in some other direction, because it can be easily a point of that no one should preach, because there is a thing like you see in India and some other places, oh, until we become self-realized, we shouldn't preach. Prabhupada already talked about that. No, that's not how we work. What you understand, you preach. And then if you say something that didn't work, then find out. You go back to the temple, talk to devotees, try to figure, you know, understand what it means, so that next time you speak, you know what to say. Because anything they can take as badly. I can remember I was going out because a lot of times in Sankirtan you're given, you know, lines, right? And so the one we were doing, I mean, we were given was ask for the time. Then they stop. And once they have the stop, then you give them the book. So I had been doing that all day. So one lady I came up to, and you know, elder lady, and came up to and said, ask her the time. And she just stopped and looked at me and says, do you actually want to know the time? She could tell that my tone of voice that I wasn't interested in the time. It was just something I was saying.
Yes.
So therefore, it's not what you're saying. It's also the focus on it and your consciousness on it and your understanding of it, realization of it. So even if you just know little, but you speak that little, it will have effect because it's chit potency. So it's not volume, it's not an academic perspective. Otherwise, then the intellectuals will claim we're the only ones that can preach. Then again, you get all this Brahmanism. You know, either we're Babaji's, we sit at that and don't do anything, or only the Brahmins and that, we can talk, no one else should preach and all that. You know, it's not practical. You know, it's a conflict. I think it was in whaling, you know, whaling, when they go out hunting whales. Yeah. So when they were doing this back in whenever, you know, 1700s and, you know, things like this or like
when
that.
When
there were still whales, you know. Then they, you know, they go out on the ship, and when they spot a whale, they get onto a small boat. And on the small boat, in the front, it had the harpoon, and in the back, it had the rudder. So whoever was the main guy, you know, generally, you know, whoever was, you know, running the whole operation, he would go in the boat with his men. He would drive the boat, right? That they're small boats, so they can get around and like that, and everyone has to row and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but then when it comes to the point of the time now to shoot the harpoon, he had to shoot the harpoon because he's the big guy. So he has to go from the back, give the red to someone else, step over everybody else, and like that, and get up there, and then arrange it and shoot it. Total, complete waste of energy in that. It's not logical at all, but because of false ego, this is the way it worked. He's the big guy. He runs the ship, he runs the little boat, he shoots the harpoon, he gets all the credit.
That's why we still have a few whales left.
That's why there's still some whales left, exactly. Because in that time, then the whale gets away. And then he can complain about everyone else, why didn't you get out of the way, and this and that. Yeah, so we want to avoid that, unless you're realized, I'm realized, I can talk, and this, and then you're going to get that kind of a thing. Does that make sense? So the point is the solution is, it didn't work, figure it out. First time you cooked lunch and it didn't work, so now you give up? No, you keep going. You ask people, hey, what happened? I did this and that, and they say, oh, that's because you need to do it like this. Because in these, you always have to be careful because people take it that from one side completely to the other. Oh, no, now we shouldn't talk that. So that's where the thing about the against direct devotional service comes. Because if you just speak New Age stuff, generally if people are into New Age, they don't get disturbed. And so if my measurement is people getting disturbed or not, then by that measurement, New Age, discussions would be proper. Like that. If they wanted to have more, get down into politics, Like that, go down to the pub, hang out, talk politics, talk sports, Then you'd really be popular, right? But the point is, find out how to present it. So Prabhupada would have how to present and all that. Because the principle of following the footsteps of the acharyas, that you have to do. But you have to see is what's the principle that's there? How did they use it? So in that situation, they used it one way. It might not work for me. Like I mentioned that one time, Srila Prabhupada, there was this, somebody is there. I don't know if they were an intellectual or reporter or what they were. He was sitting one side of the table, Prabhupada sitting the other, and Prabhupada made a point. And then they kept just arguing that point, and Prabhupada explained it again, and they'd say again and again and again. At one point, he reached over and grabbed him by the collar and pulled him forward on the table, and he leaned forward till he's like this far away. And then he said the thing again. And then the person went, yes, like that. Because he wasn't listening. He was just doing his, whatever it is, his intellectual journalist thing. He wasn't paying attention, so Prabhupada caught his attention. And then, I think Guru Kripa Maharaj was there. And he was thinking, wow, I like this preaching. Go out and grab it. Hey, listen. Surrender. Like that. And Prabhupada says no. He says a young boy can say anything. A young child can say anything. Yes. An old person can do anything.
Yes,
he
yes.
says, you can't do this. Says, if you did this, they'd be upset. I did this, I just, okay, The old man's got a point, So.
It's happening in France now. At one time, when Sannyasi wanted to use the strong approach for Sankirtan with the people, saying, right. You're not the body like that. And he did like that, and the people just
punched him. Yes. And then you can understand, Krishna's trying to tell me something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That was the approach, just to make sure that it doesn't go the other way. Because otherwise, in India, that means nowadays, we haven't had it recently, but back 70s and 80s, there was always this thing, is no, until you realized you shouldn't preach. That was always, that's the Karmis say that. The outside, the that Babaji, Sahajis, that's the whole thing. When I become so, then I'll preach.
Well, it's the same point. Still devotees dwell on it. Is unless your Guruji is Mahabhagavat.
Right.
You can't go back to that. It's got to
yeah.
be. If you took initiation from Madhyama, it's like you got to, roll for a few more times.
Yeah. But yeah, it's all these speculations we come up with, even though this is all explained nicely. It's just like the mailman gave the package. Did you actually get the package? Can you get the full benefit from the package? But he's not an Uttamadhikaran. He's just some guy who... So that's the point. He delivered the message. So they're trying. They're taking it that the message is mundane. It's the words. That's svotavad. Svota is the combination of syllables. That's what is the potency. But it's no. It's chit is the potency. And these words it carries. So that's the difficulty, is these things have been dealt with, but that's why. Because sometimes you wonder, why does Prabhupada talk on these things? But then you see with time, because, you know, you see it outside in the Hindus, but we're devotees, what does it matter for us? But then if we're not careful,
yes.
It's the modes of nature, it's the same thing. You only have, like we were saying, these six schools of philosophy. There isn't a seventh. You know, just like in rasa, there's five main rasas. There's not a seventh, a sixth, like that. And so then it's just combinations and bits and pieces of this and that. So yeah. It's just, you may have to do it outside, but if you're not careful, you have to apply it inside also. But for the devotees, it should be easier once you explain it to them. And it's clear, then they're already on that path of faith and they move forward very nicely. While for the karmi, then it'll be that moment of, you know, understanding it, maybe it's not the way I think, and he starts to become more aware, and gradually, then they develop faith. But for the devotee, it just, you know, it's just a weed. You pull out the weed, and then they move forward. Is that okay?
Yeah. The difficulty also is that somehow, by habit or just by impressions, that we don't think that philosophy is something practical.
Yes.
Even devotees.
Yeah, of
they
course.
They like philosophy, or they like to philosophize.
Yes, yes.
But
I would say the second.
As soon as the class over, we are right back at the point where we and the dealings. Yeah,
yeah. I'm saying it's like the elephant.
Yeah.
Takes the bath and then does the test.
And then, so it's like two separate things. So it takes a lot of effort to combine those things and then explain that this is how we should. Because even you gave that example, which I never thought about it, but when you were explaining, then the Krishna Samhita, everybody takes the story part.
Yes.
But nobody... Like, I never heard anybody talking about philosophy of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's using this story, you know, how this represents that, how this demon is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it's kind of popular.
Yeah, but that...
But philosophy is, like, never mentioned.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. It's just like Jiva Goswami's grammar. There's a point there. You know, Sakrishna likes to be hidden. You know, he likes things indirect. So then you have I can't remember what it is, but there's one grammatical thing where there's a letter there, but it's silent. But because it's there, it has a particular effect. You know, and so the name of that then is one of the aspects of Krishna. You know, because that's how Krishna works. So everything comes like that, like the Vishnu Janas. Of the vowels. You can say things because of that. The potency in speech comes from vowels, not from consonants. The consonants then are the other ones, the Ishwaras. And then these are the Vishnu Janas, the devotees. The consonants are the devotees. And so then they support, they serve the vowel. You know, so all these things are, the whole thing's just philosophy. You know, as we were saying, you have philosophy, then you apply it in a particular area, and then it takes on those qualities. You know, it's like the drama. It's no different. You're trying to elevate the consciousness from anamoy. That's why then you see that it's in direction. It's saying don't show things that will invoke anamoya in the audience. You know? You show just a little bit of the rasa and this and that, enough they get the idea. You only have to show that much. But you don't go more than that, otherwise people drop to anamoya, and you're trying to elevate the consciousness. So it's always the same principle. It's not something else. There's only one subject, and that's Krishna. Yes?
sometimes we felt that there's a demand from the audience to draw upon the lower level. No, really.
Yeah.
They actually ask questions. You explain, Vijnanamaya, trying to achieve Anandamaya, and this and that, and then, it's like,
it's
like a bomb comes.
Yeah.
Pranamaya, or even Anandamaya, and then everybody is happy. You feel the vibe. It's different.
That's some taste. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But you still, you start that, you take their position, explain it, and take it back. And then the next one, and take it back. And you find with time, less and less it comes down. You know, it's just like in these first years of the course that we get into an issue. Some of those issues, we'd be discussing it for 2 weeks. And that would be cyclic. It's not that was that 2 weeks and then it's done. No, it'll come up again later for another, 10 days or 5 days. And now they, it's just as part of the passing conversation. So that's why... That's why you see the acharyas mention gallons of blood.
Okay. Also, we see the audience strong.
That's the blood.
Yeah. We're not complaining.
Maybe there is a need of more prasada in the class.
Maybe, yeah. Before there'd be people bringing this. But they're the ones that left. Yeah. No, but the thing is that it just goes nicely because it's been discussed, and so then it doesn't come up. Even though now and again, now it'll be more kind of like how devotees are applying and that, rather than whether it's right or not, different opinions there and stuff. But yeah, but you're looking for the jewel. One moon is worth more than all the stars in the sky. So that's why I said in preaching, if you can make one person into a pure devotee, then the mission is successful. Just one. For Krishna, the whole material manifestation, if one person becomes, in one breath becomes a pure devotee, it's worthwhile. Or even in many breaths. Just as long as there's somebody becoming a pure devotee, it's worthwhile. Because pure devotional service is so valuable, it attracts Krishna. So that's what's of value. The other things are not. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, Keshi is pride, no?
Yeah.
And where did he get it? In the mouth. Because that's the pride people. It's always about, saying about it.
Yeah, he was making that noise. It's like bragging.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you have to take it back to what was, it does have all these things, but the point is ultimately you get to the metaphysical is only to support the spiritual and make that bridge. So if the faith is there, then so much can be done. And if not, then it makes it more difficult. So the point is if it didn't work, then you find out. You ask somebody. You read, you study, you pay attention. Because you find the same things are being discussed regularly. And just, it's just like I'm hearing lectures now that I'm catching things that are important that before I wouldn't have. Prabhupada's giving these, just like Jiva Goswami is giving all these examples of to establish. In the lectures, Prabhupada's giving the same kind of points. But generally you think, oh yeah, yeah, he's just talking the basics. No, he's talking very technical philosophy. But it's presented so pleasantly and in words that we can understand, that we take it as just, it's basic. It's basic meaning it's fundamentals, it's up. But we take it as, it's just minor detail.
Yes.
No, it's fundaments.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Because we're not used to the descending process.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Until it's getting colder because the birds are fluffing up more. They look more fat. Because when it's summer, they go real skinny. They make the feathers down. And now these ones, not as much. The funniest ones are like the... some of the minas or the Some of these other, the small birds, some they just sit there and they stick their feathers almost straight out. They look like this little ball.
Seven fisters also.
Yeah, yeah, they really go. Yeah, they pop. They're nuts. That's another discussion. Yes.
Actually, in the question of teaching, can we say also that this is really helping us to advance in Krishna consciousness ourselves?
Yes, yes.
Even if the audience is not catching so quickly, like that. But at least for us.
That's why it takes time. I mean, Prabhupada's given these courses of study.
Yes.
But it'll take time. You know, it's just like Gurukul, the standard educational time is 12 years.
Yes.
Then you can add on to that.
Yes.
But 12 is your normal.
The general.
Yeah, the general education.
After specialization. After specialization.
Yeah, yeah. Or they want to go for, like, in 12 years you learn one Veda.
Yes.
It doesn't take 12 years to learn a Veda, but you also have to learn etiquette and behavior and all so many other skills and like that. And so in 12 years, you've done a Veda. Now, if you want to do more Vedas, then you just add on to that. But it won't be another 12 years because you've already done all that ashram training. Now it's just how long it takes to do that particular Veda.
Yes.
Is that makes sense? Yeah. Yes.
Also, we were looking now, a lot of educational programs are going on, especially online, because people can't really move as much.
Yeah.
But then we see that the most popular are those who give in skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's short course, you know, you pay, you know, a few $100 and it's practical. You actually,
right,
after the course, you can actually apply that that skill or set of skills.
Yes, yes.
Then some, they give skills and knowledge, means they explain, you know, what are the skills for and this and that.
Mm.
It's more complex.
Mm-hmm.
Cost almost the same, not much difference in the price, but you know, it's instead of 2 weeks, it might take, you know, 1 month, maybe even 2 months.
Mm.
So those are okay.
Less people.
Yeah, less people, but quite popular. Then, as we do, we also teach philosophy, which is not very popular, and it might be even for free, but people can, as we mentioned before, they can apply philosophy in life because it takes much longer. You have to contemplate, you have to see what is your, you know, you have to see the sangati. And then, I don't know, I don't want to say nobody, but it's got to be somebody. But the culture, because rasa is experienced through the culture. But culture, people don't talk about the culture. So when we you know, read or study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even Natya, which is quite mundane in a sense, but then the value of this is that you understand culture, and then in culture you experience relationship. But that, I've never seen, like, nobody advertises that. Maybe some people practice, but it's...
Yeah, because it's not appreciated that religion, that's where the culture is. So you have the philosophy, you have the religion. But the religion is the application of the philosophy. It doesn't have any other purpose. You know, it's just like we have the masculine and feminine principle. The masculine is the shelter and all that, and then you expand the energies, then they accomplish things. You know, the action is done through the energies. So Krishna and his energies are one, but for action, they're two. You know? Because he includes his energies, but then you make the distinction when it comes to action. And so then, how you say? Yeah, you have to have it both. So taking it all the way through, because we're also used to philosophy meaning that it's not something very practical.
Yes.
You know, we might have a few aphorisms that might stick in our life, and that's what we want to do. Be nice to everybody, or don't get frustrated, or you can do it, or, you know, something like that. You know, something. So that kind of thing. But the point is then that means everything else is explaining that point. So you have to be able to take it. If I'm servant of Krishna, then how does that apply in everything I do? So that's why Varnashram can't be understood, because it's not seen in the context that I'm servant of Krishna. If I'm servant of Krishna, that means I regulate my life in line with Krishna. That means I regulate my life, if I want to please Krishna, then I would regulate my life how Krishna would like to be pleased. You know, if I cook for Krishna, I cook the way he likes. Right? So then that becomes the whole thing, is I do things how he likes. So that's where the culture comes. And so the Vedic system is all those things are how Krishna likes. So when someone follows the Vedas, they're following the form that we would use, just without the life. So then devotees add the life. Then it becomes perfect. You know, but otherwise, if we take it, then it'll just be external, and then the taste will be lost. And people go elsewhere to find, you know, because as we said, intensity of taste is what people are looking for. So when they don't find it in our own things, they'll go look for it elsewhere. So that's why then that those things are discussed. But it has to be appreciated, because it's by association. Because that's where it gets applied. You explain it, but then you see people doing, then you explain how it applies in that situation. You know, so that they can see. Then the problem comes up is then someone say, oh, that's how it has to be applied. No, in that situation is applied like another situation is applied in a different way. Oh, it's so complicated, but that's the way it is. Mechanics are complicated. They're not simple. So it's by association you learn all these things. Same way in the spiritual world, it's by association you learn. It's not that. Have you ever heard of how you say an academy for training the gopis? No, it's by association. Someone shows you how the music works, or how you do this, or how you sweep, or you know stuff, and then that works. So it's by association. So that's the whole idea. Is that's why the Gurukul system is the recommendation. That principle is that the knowledge is taught and the culture is taught by the practical. You explain it, but then you see the boy is sweeping, and then you show, you know, it's that, you know, they're just going like this, so it's superficial, or they're getting right into it, but they're doing it too hard, so they're cleaning this area and making that area dirty. So you have to refine it. So that's then the whole idea is that the GBCs will be you know discussing that as those points, but then showing leadership, you know, the managerial leadership how to practically apply that in their situation. Then the leadership, then they see that, then they'll apply that to their you know officers, and those officers will then do the same thing, show the philosophy in relationship to the practical application. So in that way, it comes down. And at any time you see something, you know, at any place you can explain it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the two means like Prabhupada, he would go around, he would do, he would see, he would do that. And so then that's the idea. That's what ISKCON leadership is for. That's what the preaching is for, is to see those things. You know, you discuss the philosophy. What's not understood, you discuss it, and what application is not understood, then that's what you one focuses on. So it again comes down to it's by personal association. That's what makes it work. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.